Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Wilson hooks a pass, looking, end zone! George Pickens climbs the ladder for the touchdown! Wilson to Pickens is potent. 16-yard rainbow. Steelers on the board first.
It was a beautiful throw, a spectacular catch, but this is what made it all work. Watch Cordarrelle Patterson and blitz pick up here. If he doesn't pick him up, Russell Wilson's under duress in the pocket. That allows Wilson to throw the football unencumbered. And look at Pickens uncover himself deep into the route.
Jaylen Warren in the backfield. They just get the snap off. Lacing it to Freiermuth for the touchdown. Third and long. Wilson floats it way upstairs. Williams, he's got it. Touchdown. Mike Williams, the newest Steeler, scores.
Now, Pittsburgh has their two timeouts, so they may take it all the way down here and see if they can jump and get it free for themselves.
And there is a jump. Washington played into their hands. Wilson celebrating. Steelers are going nuts on the sideline.
Yeah, baby. What a game that was, Bob. Huh? 28-27, and now all of a sudden, here are the Steelers in the thick of it, truly. I mean, it would have been the case even if they had lost, you know, on a last-second field goal. But I feel something that you and I have been talking about, and that is just a new energy about this team, about this franchise. Did you see how they reacted after that kid jumped offside? How they reacted.
It was
the offensive line, the coaches. It was great. It's just, it's been stale around here for a while. I think all of us would admit that. There were little pockets of optimism and maybe things have changed. There were some great moments when Kenny Pickett beat the Raiders and Ravens late that year. And we were all thinking, wow, this is the new energy we've been looking for. But it wasn't. It was a false read, Bob. This is the energy we've been looking for. And it centers around the new quarterback, Mr. Toxic Positivity himself. It turns out that that positivity isn't so toxic. It's spreading. I just, that's the image I take from this game, is the reaction to the Commanders jumping over the line on one of the stupidest plays in NFL history. Yes, but just the reaction. Like, of course you're going to be excited, but that, every single guy on the field was going nuts. I like this, Bob. I like it a lot. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you? Yeah, it is. It's infectious, too. And it just, you know, when you see how they're all galvanized, and to me, that's what that indicated. The entire team was galvanized at that point. They realized that was something extremely rare that you see somebody jump offside like that in that kind of moment. But they had planned it well, whatever Russell Wilson did. But, you know, and the people are saying it's a young kid. I get it. But you know what? In every layer of football, you're taught that. You do not jump. When you know this is the case, there's no way the Steelers are going to run a play there.
I think
everyone knew that.
Zero chance.
Because they were, if you miss, you're giving the ball almost already made field goal. You can't do that. So, but for whatever reason, he got all jacked up and, you know, you got to control that. He didn't, and the Steelers benefit by it. But what a nice come-from-behind win. They were down by 10 after back-to-back long drives. And you know, the one thing about this team is they do not panic in those situations. They just play their game. There are a lot of things to like about it, and we're here for the next 4 hours to detail those and get your opinions.
We're also here to check in on our friend and your City Limits, who's coming off an unbelievable triple header, Bob. Did you hear about this?
Of broadcasting?
Yes, and fanning. Whoa. All of that. Tell us about your triple header limits with the times involved.
Incredible weekend, Bob. I did social media for KDK Radio for the high school football game of the week. Aliquippa and TJ, Thomas Jefferson moving on to the Whitfield Finals. That started at 7. We got out of there about 10:30 or so. The next morning, I drove up to Beaver Falls, called Westminster
Ron
and
Cook's
Geneva.
Hometown. Get a Ron Cook clip in here to enhance the story.
Joe Namath would be proud.
Yes, it is.
That was at 1 o'clock. Game ended at 4. I immediately left Beaver Falls, drove up to Happy Valley, got there at 7 o'clock, and was in my seat in time for the whiteout, Washington-Penn State at 8.
Bob, a hand from both of us to City Limits. That's an unbelievable limitless wonder.
You know what? That's when you're young and you have the energy to do it.
Yeah.
And we still can do it, but it takes a toll on us. We rebound for the next 3 days. He's back fresh the next day.
What a man he is.
By the way, since you did that Aliquippa game, got to give a shout-out to the Quips. Over the years watching their program, the first time in how many? 16 years?
16
that they
years.
Did not get to a WPIO championship game. That's an incredible run. We talk about the Clareton Bears.
Yeah.
They've done some special stuff, but Aliquippa's program has been just incredible considering how they ping-pong them around in different classifications. So I wanted to just congratulate them on all their run of success.
Good shout-out there for sure. So the Steelers. Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football called them the biggest story in football right now. He said Minnesota was for a while. Washington has staked their claim to that here and there. Certainly some others, but I tend to agree. If not the biggest, one of a couple. With Russell Wilson, of all people, after what happened in Denver, coming in here and Mike Tomlin making the big decision to bench a 4-2 quarterback, and look at what's happened. And also, Bob, as I look at the landscape of the AFC, I see the Steelers as a legitimate contender because I like some of the happenings around the AFC if I'm a Steeler fan. I like that the Ravens, while very talented, maybe more talented than the Steelers. We could have a discussion about that.
Not defensively, they aren't.
Not defensively. And that secondary is highly questionable, especially without Kyle Hamilton. Bengals have hit hard times, still dangerous. The Bills are good, but I have questions about that defense. And I don't know if you knew this, but the Bills never get it done when it matters in the playoffs, Bob. I don't know if that's new information for you.
One day they will.
One day they will. And the Texans are, you talk about a course correction. How about the Texans? And finally, the Chiefs, while 9-0, and clearly still the favorite because you're going to have to go through Arrowhead probably, they're just barely scraping by. And the idea of winning 3 in a row in and of itself, nobody's ever done it. Plus, just scraping by, I think eventually someone's going to bite him. I like the landscape of the AFC for the Steelers, and I think that's my first question today. Of all the things we're going to talk about and try to put this into context, I see the Steelers as a legitimate contender in the AFC, and it feels like it's been a long time since I've said that. Do you agree?
Yes, I do, and I do for the following reasons. Number one, again, I'll go back to their defense. And you can say what you want about Kansas City. And yes, they have lived on the edge, and they've gotten some good breaks, a foot, a toe, in that first game with the Ravens. That should have been a loss. Then there was a Cincinnati game in which they got a very generous call on a 4th-and-16. They call pass interference, which sets up. I mean, I'm sorry, I wouldn't have called that. They should have lost that game, but they won it. There have been too many other examples. They're not winning the way Kansas City normally wins, which is Pat Mahomes' offense scoring 35 a game. They're winning with defense. That bodes well for them. Their defense is legit and very good, and it's going to be a tough match for anyone. But as far as the Steelers are concerned, their defense, what it did yesterday is stunning to me because of what Washington had done leading up to that. They were the number one rushing team in the NFL, and they did get 3 rushing touchdowns yesterday. But they were held in check for the most part, and mostly – Jaden Daniels was held in check with 3 carries, 5 yards. That's it. Normally, he's running for 50 yards a game. He couldn't do that yesterday because the Steelers made sure they were disciplined in what they were doing. But I think the Steelers, because of the complementary defense with this offense now with Russell Wilson, as long as they're not making mistakes offensively and turning the ball over, they're going to score their share of points. And their defense will limit the amount they give up. Therefore, I think they are legitimate. And I think that game on Christmas Day, while at the beginning of the season I thought might be just a bothersome game on Christmas, it will now be significant with Kansas City. It could be for the number one seed, for all we know.
Could be. I still think, honestly, that a good second half for the Steelers will be to trade wins and losses and have 10 or 11, maybe 11 going into that final game, something like that. The schedule is very, very difficult. But that's fine. They are legitimate in the AFC. You said you start with the defense. I start with the quarterback. He's just changed everything. He's unlocked George Pickens. Even when he's playing bad, he's playing good. Like the first half yesterday, he threw for like 43 yards, but he also threw for two touchdowns, which is as many as any Steeler quarterback had done in like the previous 50 games. And then he led them on not one, but two game-winning drives. He couldn't help it when the Warren fumbled happened, Bob. That just happened. And then he led them on another one. And, man, I went back and watched that throw again today. What a great throw and what a great catch by Mike Williams. I came in here to heap
not
praise.
Easy. He made it look easy.
Oh, no. You look at it, it's like the Stallworth catch in the Super Bowl against the Rams. When you're running down the field, you want that throw, ideally, perfectly, on your inside shoulder. When it comes over your head to your outside shoulder, that is a difficult catch. That's a 9 out of 10 difficult catch, and he made a great play. The more I looked at that, they had a great shot from the back corner of the end zone right where he made the play, and you could see the ball. Oh, my God, what a beautiful pass. They blitzed Wilson on the play. He could have gone short. He could have gone to Jaylen Warren, who would have had one guy to beat. I think probably would have gotten the first down. But we have one of those guys in town, Bob. We have a guy who, if you look at the all-time list, fourth quarter comebacks in the playoffs. Let's start there. In the playoffs. You know the three guys who are ahead? The only three of Russell Wilson. You might recognize their names.
Well,
Montana.
And Elway.
Brady and Mahomes.
And Mahomes. So I forgot.
That's it. He just passed Elway, regular season fourth quarter comebacks. He has a Ben-like mentality of going for the win, for the kill shot. That was 3rd and 9. He was a little bit off balance. That ball traveled 41 yards in the air. And even though, you know, it was a great, great catch, it was also an incredible throw. And he set that throw up a couple plays earlier by running around like vintage Russell Wilson and delivering that ball to Calvin Austin. Do you remember that play,
Bob? Yeah, I remember that play.
So the difference here, where I start, is the quarterback. Everything else could be the same right now. The record, everything. I'd still be doubting them like I have in recent years. But the quarterback, he's the guy. He gives them a chance. We were just asking the other night, Bob, after the Ravens game, could the Steelers win a game like that? 35-34, whatever the score was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now that they have Russell Wilson, I wouldn't rather have him than Lamar or Burrow, but he gives them a chance in those games.
Without question. And that throw, again, I was a little surprised that the Commanders went after him with a blitz.
Yeah.
Only because they're protecting a lead, and the Steelers are the ones who need a touchdown. And yet they took that risk on and knew that they were going to have some guys isolated one-on-one with different receivers. Russell Wilson had made a split-second decision on that, and he saw Williams was there. And Williams is there mostly because Calvin Austin wasn't, and it's funny how that works out. But he was down the sideline, he just threw it, and you could not have thrown a better ball from his back foot while retreating, while under pressure. But that was the play of the game, there's no question. I want to go back to another drive, which I think was just as important, and if not for this drive, that wouldn't have happened.
Please do, Bob.
So it was 24-17, back-to-back long drives by Washington. Right before halftime, 94 yards, 71 yards, boom, boom, all of a sudden they're up by 10. They needed a response, and they got it immediately. And there were three plays in that drive that led to the Harris one-yard touchdown. And without those three plays, again, they probably punt the ball, and they're down 10, and it's a different game. 3rd and 8. There was, if you look at that play, and I would invite you to do so, it was a little check down basically to Warren, but he had, again, make a split decision, 3rd and 8. Can he get those yards? You trust Jaylen Warren in open space. He turned it into 26 yards. Then there was a 2nd and 19 play. Again, after penalties and a sack, and there's 2nd and 19. Again, you're thinking, man, how are we going to make up this yardage? He put it right on the money in between three defenders to George Pickens. A beautiful throw in the middle of the field, which is something they haven't used all that much. And that led to the touchdown by Harris and made it 24-21.
Yes, you're
that
right.
Drive came immediately after the 71-yard drive by Washington to start the second half. Those are the kinds of things that I look at when you to double down on your point about Russell Wilson. Those are the moments that a veteran professional quarterback will sense, I got to do something now. We have to respond quickly, and they did.
He's the biggest reason, I think, for the transformation to the energy transformation, I would call it, from staleness, Groundhog Day to this, where everything feels new. He's the guy that they were lobbying for. Those guys sensed, Hayward, Watt, whoever else lobbied for this, that they needed a guy, a leader at the most important position. And that's really not anything against Fields or in some ways even Pickett. It's just that these guys are they're on the back nine here. They really are. And, you know, TJ might only be on hole number 10, and he was unbelievable late in the game. But just in terms of chances to win, he just hit 30. Here he is. Is he 30? Is TJ Watt 30 or about to be 30?
I think he is. But he's a young 30.
They know what they need. They need that guy, a guy, to be a stabilizing factor, to make big throws when they're needed throughout a game, to have the guts to go for big plays and be able to deliver like that. And, you know, with Russell, I think you get the bonus of that relentless positivity. I really think it's had a huge effect. And for Pickens, it's like having, you know, an adult in the room. Like,
there's no question.
You almost have to respond to Russell Wilson. And Russ has given him chances left and right. And I think he wanted to give him a chance on that throw to Williams. I do. I looked at the play a bunch of times. And when I questioned the trade, you know, there were positives and negatives, I thought, of the Williams trade, Bob. One of the things I said was, it seems like a similar receiver to Pickens. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Honestly, not knowing. Let's take a listen to Matt Ryan yesterday, because this is, I think this was this after the game?
Yes.
Okay. So we talked about when you have two guys who can go down the field and go up and get it, and you have a single safety, that creates a big problem, because Russ can stand back there, get an early read on where that safety might be going, and just go the other way. So that play showed how it can be a great thing to have two very similarly styled receivers. Let's listen to Matt Ryan on the CBS postgame.
And Nate Burleson also chimes in about how they can be a threat.
You mentioned the addition of Mike Williams and the single high, right? Meaning that safety is right smack in the middle of the field. But a lot of times in single high, the safety is going to cheat one direction or the other, right? So you got to pick your poison. Do you want to cheat towards George Pickens? Fine. I'm going to take a shot down the other sideline to Mike Williams, right? So I think it helps in the run game. It helps in the vertical passing game, adding, you know, Mike Williams at the trade deadline. They're going to get better.
Yeah, and then you throw in,
I think they're going to improve.
The running backs catching out of the backfield and the tight end play. Seems like this team has everything that they need.
Do you agree with that, Bob? I actually do. And listen, they're going to play another very likely tight game against the Ravens. And if they lose, we'll probably be critical of decisions and all of that. But it won't change. It's going to take a lot at this point to change my mind that the Steelers have a real shot in the AFC, a real shot. Of course you could lose to Mr. Jackson. Of course you could, Bob.
Yeah.
So what? You come back the next, the schedule's brutal. You go 4-4 over the next 8. Okay, great. I think you can win a playoff game or two.
Yeah, I think it depends on also if you can, you know, be in a good seated position. You know, in this day and age, bye weeks are important. If you could get that number one seed, and I know that's something that's still not in their favor. However, a lot of things haven't been in their favor, and they've turned the odds around based on how they've played. If you can get home playoff games, I think it does make a difference. I realize how they've played recently in home playoff games is not very good, but I still would rather it be here than there or anywhere else. So I think winning the division's really, really important here. Wild cards, it's a long road. It's a long journey. It puts you on the spot to win playoff games on the road, and you have to play every week. So I think it's very important if they can get at least one home playoff game. I think winning a division is very important for them. But as far as the competition of the AFC, we saw last night Houston, although I like their team and still do, second half collapse against a good Detroit team. They have their issues. They're still dangerous, I think, down there if you play them. Buffalo and Kansas City and Baltimore, those are the three teams. And then you throw the Steelers, that's four. But I think they could match up with those teams on any field, really, if they play the game they're supposed to play. So It's a whole different dynamic than what it was at the beginning of the season, but I think it's all right in front of them. And they did well in the division last year. This is a different Lamar Jackson this year. I think this, you know, much more advanced in terms of the passing awareness in the pocket.
For
sure.
So
he doesn't rely on his legs so much. But I think the Steelers are right there. They are.
That, and to me, that's the point. And yeah, I agree for sure that playing home playoff games is huge and winning the division would be gigantic. But I also think just knowing that you can play and win games like that, or like that Ravens-Bengals game the other night, is huge. And I feel like that right now, like I had some questions about the defense. You mentioned the defense. They made some huge plays yesterday. Washington also had about five drops in that game. There was one by Zach Ertz, I think. Was it near the end of the third quarter? Maybe
yeah,
later than that.
It was.
He made a run for a touchdown.
It was wide open. Yeah. And I don't know what happened to him there. So there was a lot of that going on, yes.
They had bunches of those. But I think they have the ingredients here. And I think the biggest change is the quarterback. 412-928-9370. And don't forget, the Chiefs last year only had one home playoff game. Then they went into Buffalo and into Baltimore, into Josh Allen's house and the house of Mr. Jackson, and won games. To me, the important thing here is, can you compete? And my answer with the Steelers is a resounding yes. What's yours? Sounds like Bob's is too. What is yours at 928-9370? So much to talk about from this game, from the fake punt to Russell Wilson and Mike Williams to some of the officiating decisions and the big picture that we're talking about, which is the Steelers standing in the AFC. I believe right now, Bob, would they play the Chargers?
Yeah, but that's another team you have to watch out for.
Yeah, I almost fear them more than others.
They're much better than they were at the beginning. I think Denver's much better than they were at the beginning, and I think Atlanta's much better than they were at the beginning. Those are three wins that'll help the Steelers.
I fear the Chargers more than the Texans. I can tell you that. You?
Because
they play defense.
Yeah, their defense is very good, and it's going to be that's a typical Jim Harbaugh kind of outlook there, and they have a quarterback who's capable, if he's healthy, to come up with big throws. So you have to have the quarterback. Why do teams pay so much for quarterbacks who haven't done anything yet? Is because you have to have them. And if you think you have one, you can't let them get away, and you have to pay the money. The Steelers fell into this situation or created this situation, whatever they did. It was a bold move for them. And you know, just saying, Mike Tomlin, who's never won the Coach of the Year, has to be in the conversation this year because of where they were and where they are. And I would think Omar Khan has to be in position to be Executive of the Year because of what he's done, specifically at the trade deadline to bring in two guys who had an immediate impact yesterday. Game-winning touchdown. And Preston Smith made a sack in his first game, and given the injury to Alex Highsmith, he may be called upon to do a little bit more.
The reason I fear the Chargers is, number one, defense, number two, head coach who has won NFL playoff games, and they have a quarterback who can beat anybody. Do you realize that the Steelers scoring 20 points that day was the high of any team against the Chargers this season?
Yeah, I know. They're stingy. They're very stingy.
Is that right, Bob? No, that's wrong. My bad. No, it's not wrong. They won 22-10, 26-3. And since they've given up 20, 17, 16, 17, 8, 10, and 17. I'm right about that. And they're beating teams by double digits. But anyway, when it gets to the bigger fish in the AFC, which is Buffalo, Baltimore, and number one, Kansas City, I think the Steelers can hang. So does Bob. Limits, do you share our opinion?
I do. I feel like we are watching a different team and maybe even a different game from this offense, especially because Russell Wilson, I mean, the moon ball to Mike Williams was a dime under pressure with just everyone in his face. I think Washington brought six. I thought he was just trying to throw it up there and give his guy a chance. Did not think at all that ball would be as accurate as it was, and a good job for Mike Williams to adjust to it.
It's funny to me how this goes in football and how we debate every play and decision made. We'll talk about the fake punt. We'll talk about all that. But at that point, Dan Quinn and his defensive coaches decided to blitz him at a time when I didn't think they were going to. To me, it's more prudent to flood, you know, make it difficult to Russell Wilson to find an open receiver, especially when you're guarding the goal line. They went all out on that play. And some people in Washington, I heard this morning on a couple of, were questioning that decision. If you make it, you make it. You know, the whole thing is being aggressive, trying to get him to throw the ball early. It was just a perfect pass. At some point, you have to credit the other team. I don't think you could have made a better play than what Russell Wilson made, regardless of what they did. It was just made.
And Williams. And Williams with the catch over the opposite shoulder. And also, he showed some burst on that play. As Charles Davis said on the broadcast, the defensive back there wasn't pressing him. It wasn't like the defensive back made it easy for Williams to run past him. He just all of a sudden turned on the jets, which
big
was
strides.
Very encouraging.
Yep.
Yeah, and got there in a hurry. And then the pass, it's one of those passes that you can look at 100 times in a row. It's way up in the air, Bob, and then suddenly it takes a very sudden downturn in trajectory. Like, it's weird the way that he threw it.
It's like one of your golf shots.
Oh, it was
great.
So
apex, a wonderful apex,
the moon ball. I mean, it was perfect.
It was, and it landed right in, and that's, you know, pretty much, he did a pass earlier in that game to George Pickens along the sidelines. Now, that was well defended.
Yes, he did on the drive before that.
That was well defended. That guy was right there, and somehow he missed the ball. He put his hand up and it went right to George Pickens, who had to get 2 feet. He does a good job of that. So those plays are unbelievable when they're made, and they are well defended, which makes them even more impressive.
Man, I'll say, I'm trying to find my column on the Post Gazette's website. You'd think it would be on there, Bob, since I wrote it, but I can't find it on the sports page. Why don't you guys try to guess the only quarterbacks who are ahead of Russell Wilson in fourth quarter comebacks, which is basically, you know, in the latter part of the fourth quarter, the latter part, I think it's maybe the last 5-4 minutes, something like that, you lead your team to what turns out to be a go-ahead score. So he passed Elway. This was the 32nd fourth quarter comeback of Wilson's career. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. He's ninth all time in that stat. I think sometimes we forget that Russell Wilson has some of the greatest numbers and some of the most illustrious company of any quarterback who's ever played the game. I think we tend to forget that a little bit. So between you, can you name the 8 guys ahead of Russell Wilson all time in fourth quarter comebacks?
Brady, Ben.
Brady's not one, but thank you for trying. Yes,
wait,
he
a
is.
He has to be.
Yes, he is. Of course he is. I'm only kidding.
Okay. Well, now you're going to throw me off.
No, Ben. Brady, Ben.
Well, he passed Elway already, right?
Yes.
So Mahomes is on that list.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He's not.
Rodgers.
Nope.
Rodgers is not on that list.
How about him getting broken in half yesterday?
Boy, I tell you what, their team. They owe him so much money. They acquired all these people. They're paying people crazy bucks. They're in purgatory right now, I think.
Brady, Manning, Ben.
Manning, yep.
Breeze. Then a couple pretty good ones, Bob. Marino and Unitas.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's
then,
a good list.
And then two you wouldn't expect. The guy who was just speaking, Matty Ice and Matthew Stafford. Two Matts.
No, I would have expected. I wouldn't have gotten it, Ryan, because I wouldn't have thought that way of him. But, yeah, he's been around a long time, and Stafford has been terrific in those situations. Mostly with Detroit, he got a lot of those. And more recently with this team, the Rams. But
and now you have to be paranoid list. That Aaron Rodgers, how could he not be on that list, Bob? Why is he
not
on
why.
That? He's 27th. Boy, is that weird. Because he's been around forever.
Well, that just goes to show you his Green Bay teams are pretty good. He didn't have to come from behind a lot, I guess.
He's tied with Carson Palmer and behind Jay Cutler. That's never a good place to be, huh? I'm shocked at that, Bob. And thank you for playing. Likewise, limits. Brady has 46 of those in his career. So Russ still needs another 14 to tie, Bob. Think
well,
he can do
he's
it?
Off. He's off to a good start. And, you know, all you got to do is look at his response, as I said, that drive I talked about. But in the fourth quarter, he was 11 for 14.
There you go.
That's what you need in a fourth quarter guy.
There you go. That's all you need to know. And the energy shift is also very real, and it never gets old. The sight of, and again, I was watching it again today, the final 2 minutes, when it came down to that fourth down play, they panned the crowd. It's just surreal. It's a home game. There's tens of thousands of Steeler fans going crazy, waving terrible towels, and you have Ian Eagle saying, "Steeler fans waving the towels, Myron Cope would be proud." It's unbelievable what they do in opposing stadiums and should never be taken for granted. It's one of the great spectacles in all of sports, and it creates a huge competitive advantage for a team playing at home, to have to go to a silent count in games, Bob.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning, but it also, I come to expect it. I was watching yesterday, too. The Steelers do a good job of engaging some of their fans from overseas. They have, or wherever, different countries. Monterrey, Mexico had a big watch party yesterday, and there were like 4,000 people there. And the Steeler brand is big and getting bigger. So that's always good to see. And I know that Mike Tomlin specifically appreciates it. Every time we do a show with him, he's the first thing he points out that makes a difference.
I know. And he was great yesterday. The clip of him saying, got him, after that. After they jumped.
I still can't believe they jumped.
Isn't
the things,
part of that on coaching? Don't you have to say, listen, and I know they were probably saying it, don't just not think about moving. Don't move a muscle. Don't twitch. Don't blink your eyes. Don't move your mouth. Don't do anything. Just stand there. It's unreal that happened.
You don't think Dan Quinn reminded all of them to do that? There was enough time.
Not well enough.
Well, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Hammer them over the head? You got to say, do not move. Don't fall for this. You know it's happening. They're not running a play. And he still did it. So, and he's, I don't care what he's a young player. Doesn't matter. You're supposed to know that at all levels of football. It's basic football 101.
412-928-9370. One of the first comments under my column is the Steelers got lucky.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Top of the hour, Bill Cowher, that rhymes, said something very interesting about the Steelers yesterday. We're going to play that clip and riff on it a little bit. Bob and I and Limits all feel that the Steelers right now appear to be a very legitimate contender in the AFC. And I haven't felt this way in a long time, probably since 2020. I mean, when you're 11-0, even though, you know, some of that, as it turned out, was a little bit deceiving, I still thought, okay, here's a team that could do damage in the AFC playoffs. But once the Bud Dupree injury happened, things seemed to come unraveled. By the way, you see Bud with two sacks yesterday.
Yeah, he's still playing well. And here's the thing. You don't know about how things are going to work out. There could be injuries. There could be a lot of things.
Well, there already is with Highsmith, right?
Yeah, but just when you see things going well, all of a sudden it changes. It's not necessarily even injury related. I looked at the Eagles last year, how they were playing. All of a sudden, just a nosedive for just no reason. They had some injuries, yes, but their performance changed. So, long way to go, and I'm sure Mike Tomlin will phrase it that way. He's not going to look too far down the road.
Let's hit the phone lines, see if people agree with this. Limits, who do we got?
Let's start with Dante in the car.
Dante, talk to Bob Pompeiani.
Hey,
what's
Mr.
up,
Pompeiani?
Dante, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
We're good here. Anytime I have a chance to spend time here with Joe and Limits, I'm good.
Yeah, me too. Hey, I wanted to mention that I think we've seen enough of a sample size that we know this is for real with Russell Wilson, and they are good enough to compete all the way to the end, as are a number of other teams. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm curious as to what you think. They have $13 million extra dollars under the cap this year that they could use to get another year out of Russell Wilson and keep this window open beyond this season. I'm going to shut up and listen.
Well, that's going to be one of the decisions of this offseason. There's no question, Dante, what they do and how they view their quarterback room. It's interesting to note that both of those guys will have their future paths determined by them. There's nothing holding them back. They're both going to be free to do whatever they want to do. So you have to, you know, navigate what you think. I don't know. The question for me with Wilson is, I just told you, we watch Aaron Rodgers fall off dramatically. When you get to a certain age, that does happen. So how much does he have really left? And does Justin Fields stay around if he believes he could be the next guy in line, whenever that may be? How much will he cost? So, you know, I don't know. That's a good question for now. How would you answer that, Joe?
I mean, my sense is that Russ wants to win at this point in his career, that he's made a ton of money. His wife makes a ton of money. I wouldn't blame him for going for every dollar. I never do. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think that he would re-sign here, you know, on the Geno Smith plan, maybe something like that, Bob. Certainly not elite quarterback money.
How about the Baker Mayfield money?
Yeah.
That kind of money.
At least that's what I'm thinking. And then Justin Fields, man, I'm 50-50 right now. I think he just may move on. I think somebody else might have been more enamored with what he did here than the Steelers apparently were. I think we forget that he's not like right out of college, that we have a pretty large sample size. He's a guy that can win you some games. He can, but I just don't think on the passing side of it, he's going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah, I expected that to be a little bit better, although I was encouraged again in that Washington game in the second half when they were down big. He had to unleash the down-the-field throws, and he was good in that game. So
the Indy game,
think,
you mean?
What did I say? Yeah, the Colts
Washington.
Game.
Yeah,
the Colts
yeah,
game,
he was spectacular.
Yeah.
But that's the MO, right? You see some spectacularness with him, and then he sort of crashes back down.
He just has to take his time in the pocket a little bit more, not so be quick to run, because that's his strength. But you have to sometimes wait and let things develop around you. And if you do, things open up down the field just a split second longer.
Russell Wilson, 3 games with the Steelers. He's obviously 3-0, and his numbers are 737 pass yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, 1 rushing touchdown, and a 105.9 passer rating. And I would argue a couple of things. One, he should have a couple more touchdowns. It wasn't his fault that one got called back and one Pickens didn't get 2 feet down last game. And also the interception was basically a punt. In fact, they measure these things now. And I read this morning that it was the least impactful interception Wilson has thrown since 2018. Bob, can you believe that people track that?
No, I mean, I believe people track everything.
I appreciate that they do.
They track everything these days.
It was basically a punt.
Yeah, and that's okay. Now, he knew what he was doing there, and that was going to be – I thought it was a good play by Pickens to somehow get his hand on him, because I didn't think he did fast motion. I thought he was going to have a 39-yard return, and that would have changed things.
It would have.
So that's a little play, but it was a big play.
He seems very engaged in all facets of the game right now, George Pickens does. And how about his numbers? In Wilson's 3 starts, Pickens has 14 catches for 276 yards. That's a 1,500-yard pace. And 2 touchdowns that, again, could easily be twice that. It's just things have changed here in a lot of different ways, some of them not even measurable by Russell Wilson's presence. Next.
Mike in Maryland was there at the game.
Hello, Mike.
What's going on, fellas? I really want to talk about Russ. Kind of gone completely 180 on him. I don't know if you know this, Beef. I didn't know about it until somebody had told me. But I guess Future is a rapper used to date Ciara back in the day. I don't know. Anyways, they were playing Future songs through the whole game, like trolling him. And I found myself at the game, obviously rooting hard and going back and forth. And I was like, I have gone 180 on this guy, from thinking he's so corny to I'd rather have Justin to I'm 100% behind this guy. And just his emotion at the end when they jumped off sides, it's like, it's contagious. And, you know, I just thought it was a neat experience. But, yeah, we took that place over. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I respect what he is. I respect what he is as a family man. All the things he's done. I mean, this guy is not just a really good quarterback and has a history of success that will land him in the Hall of Fame, you would think, one day. But also, he's involved in a lot of stuff. Wherever he goes, it didn't matter if it was Seattle, Denver, Pittsburgh, he's involved in local stuff. He gets to Children's Hospital. He's legit that way. He's old school. He's faith-driven. Everything about him I respect as a player and as a person.
Yeah, I think he's gotten a horrible rap, really, in both his play and his just personality and demeanor. Now, I don't think there's any doubt when he went to Denver, he went too far. That stuff when he arrived there was ridiculous. but we all get to make mistakes, right? I mean, I thought he bounced back in a big way in year two in Denver. And I kept hearing from people like Mark Schlereth, but a lot of other people, that last year in Denver, don't believe the numbers. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and one of the better passer ratings in football. And he beat 5 playoff teams in a row and didn't throw a pick. What am I not to believe there?
Yeah, that was strange.
That it was fake?
That sounded like a personal vendetta more than anything.
But there were a lot of people, obviously, Bob, who didn't believe in Russ's numbers because teams are desperate for quarterbacks, and the Steelers were pretty much the only one that guaranteed him, you know, at least pole position. So I would say most of the league didn't believe that was real. Such was the trauma from the year before of watching him in that offense. But I think we know now that was a Nathaniel Hackett production, not a Russell Wilson production, right?
Yeah, I think the offensive coordinator has a big say in what goes on. And we're watching it here in Pittsburgh. The fact that, you know, Matt Canada was here and not progressing in any way. And a lot of the same kind of play calls were happening. All of a sudden, Arthur Smith comes in and, you can tell that with this quarterback, and this is why Mike Tomlin made the move. He wanted to see what this would look like with that quarterback and his history, and given what he does, you know, combined with a play calling that was more aggressive, and all of a sudden the Steelers have become a team that can score 27 to 30 points, and that didn't happen for 3.5 years.
And in a conference with those quarterbacks, with these quarterbacks, that makes all the difference. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, you can check in on limits via our text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And of course, our six-pack, brought to you by Bet365. Wanted to shout out Jaden Daniels, too. I thought against a good defense yesterday, he deserved a better fate. I thought his receivers let him down. But I also think he's a class act, and that shone through when Highsmith got hurt, and Daniels made it a point to go over when Highsmith was getting helped off the field and tap him on the shoulder pads. I feel like that kid is a star and also a class act, Bob.
I totally agree, and he's been thrown into this. He's slender. I think he's going to have to put on a little bit of weight here just to ensure that he doesn't get knocked out of games. But everything that he does is very professional in nature. It looks like he's been around for a long time. You could look at young quarterbacks who don't have the experience. There are a lot of things that become very clear that they're not ready for this. In his case, he's been ready, and he's made some clutch throws from the pocket on the money. Unfortunately for him, he had 5 drops, and 3 of them I thought were significant in that they could have turned into something.
Yes.
And so that you can never go back and change that, but that was big for the Steelers.
None bigger than the Zach Ertz drop, in my mind.
Yeah, and there was no one around. I don't understand what happened with that play. I mean, just other than
Well, Elliott was trailing him, and as Davis said on the broadcast, that was going to be a difficult tackle. Now, Elliott makes those. I think he would have brought him down, but it was basically Ertz with a head start, and he just dropped it. A perfect throw. Keanu Benton made a great play, too.
Yeah, he's been good. Their defensive line generally has been very good. Ogunjobi, every now and then,
he played a good game.
He makes a significant play. There's no question. So all that stuff works well for them. But you know, Jaden Daniels is going to be a star in this league. There's no question. If he isn't already,
yeah, I would argue he already is. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 60 today with sunny skies. A beautiful Veterans Day. And a salute to all our veterans and their families for sacrificing what they have to make our lives better. Bob, I know you share in that sentiment.
I know a lot of people who've done that, who have sacrificed, who have had, you know, problems since they've returned and still are active. This is about active military people here, as opposed to Memorial Day, where we're talking about people who've given their lives for this. So I can't say enough. I think Veterans Day should be every day, in the sense that you should, every time you see somebody who is wearing a military uniform, go up and tell them what you think about them, because they don't necessarily expect that, but they appreciate it when they get it, because they know the people have benefited from their willingness to do what a lot of people wouldn't want to do, and they volunteer to do it at start. So Congrats to all of them and all the local people that I know. Just salute to you for what you do.
Coming up next, you and Bill, you're going to hear what Cowher had to say about the state of the Steelers. The lines are lighting up like Mulsey at a craft beer house, like Pony at a Syracuse game, like a pinball machine, like a Christmas tree. Does anybody else want to jump in and help me here? Bob?
Lemons? Donnie at a football game.
Like Donnie at any football game. Like Bob at a what? At the Nutcracker Ballet, Bob?
Sure, I light up for that. Crowley at a West Virginia
Crowley at a West Virginia tailgate. Very good.
I saw Crowley at a Pitt tailgate the other day when we were doing a pregame show for Pitt in Virginia, and he was very comfortable at home.
Wearing Pitt Virginia gear?
It doesn't matter. He'll back it up, and he also understands that Pitt beat his team, so he doesn't have much leg to stand upon.
What a nice man he is, huh, Bob?
Really good hair, too. I've noticed that.
Yeah, better hair. Crowley or Limits? Tough one, ain't it?
I think Crowley's thicker. I mean, it reminds me of Rich Walsh. I work with Rich, and I can't that's like going through a forest. I don't think it ever moves. Crowley has more of that kind of hair. Yours is like, it's thicker than mine, but it reminds me of George Jetson.
That's George a compliment. Jetson. Yeah, do you know of George Jetson?
I do, the Jetsons.
Yeah. Best three heads of hair in Pittsburgh sports media. Do we just name them Crowley, Walsh, and Limits?
I'm trying to think who else is in there.
Limits? I know if a guy with your hair notices other guys who have good hair, right?
Yeah, Richie is definitely number one on that list because if there's like one half of a hair out of place, he seemingly has to fix it. Is that the case, Bob?
I got to put category 5 hairspray on to keep it from moving. He doesn't. It just stays. It's in place no matter what.
Are we missing anybody, Limits?
I don't think so.
I don't think so
either. You ever see Nick Faribault's flow he has?
No.
Him and Isaac Sayamalo. Yeah, no, you might get him confused.
You know Nick Faribault,
Bob? He has a healthy lettuce pack. Yes, he does.
Does he?
Yes, he does. I will say that.